Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with change facilitator Frank Vandenhorst and the mindful pathfinder himself, Peter M. Fellows. And this week is book talk. Peter, what will you be sharing today?
Thank you, Rick. I'm happy to be together with you two cavaliers of consciousness here at the Road Ahead Cafe, where we may horse around a bit, but out of the horseplay comes good horse sense. And today I'm going to talk about the unique therapeutic process found in a book entitled Focusing by Eugene Gendland. I can't teach you focusing in 6 minutes, but I can give you an overview so you might get a feel as to whether you want to learn more about it or not. And I'll show you how I draw upon one element from focusing in my new contemporary mindfulness application, The Pathfinder's Question. Back to you, Rick.
Wonderful. Thank you, Peter. Frank, how about you? What are you going to share?
Today, I'm going to talk about an evergreen. It's called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra, written in 1994. A wonderful book. For me, it's a treasure. Deepak Chopra, he has a medical degree, is a well-known spiritual leader who originally comes from India, studied medicine, and now lives in the US. He is a very successful author, and one of the most interesting books he wrote is, I think, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, or as he says in his intro, which also could be named The Seven Spiritual Laws of Life, which I think is much more applicable because success is just a small part of life. It's a practical guide to fulfill your dreams, as the subtitle reads. I bought the book in Paris, as I said. Until now, I think it is a small treasure. What are these laws? And what do they mean in life, you may wonder? Well, stay tuned to know more about it. Rick.
Great stuff, Frank. Thank you. Love Deepak Chopra. So today, the book I'll be sharing is Wisdom of the Ages by Wayne Dyer, one of my all-time favorites. It was written in 1998. Wayne was one of my personal favorite mentors for 30-plus years, really resonated with his work. This is a collection of writings, poems, and sayings from 60 of the greatest masters of all time, with commentary as only Wayne Dyer can share it. Yeah. Peter, let's get into your book.
All right. Thank you, Rick. So back in 1981, I was an early explorer of lucid dreaming. There was no book that dealt solely with it, so I put down all of my findings about how to do it in a manuscript entitled To Awaken the Dreaming Self. And this would have been the first book solely dedicated to lucid dreaming. I marketed it to literary agents and publishing houses, and everybody loved it. And nobody thought that there was a market for it. So what would have been the very first book solely on lucid dreaming and how to do it lies unpublished in my files. And while Psychology Today, the magazine, published a letter from me, which led to me connecting with Stephen LaBerge of Stanford University, a lucid dreaming researcher and pioneer, he was way better at marketing than I was. So it was his book that would be the first published about 4 years later. But you know, I'm never satisfied with my work. I'm always convinced I can find a better way to do something. So part of me was happy my manuscript hadn't been published, because I kept thinking of improvements to make my lucid dreaming techniques. I could do more, I could do better. And at that time in 1981, I came across a new book by Eugene Gendland of the University of Chicago. It was called Focusing. At the time, I thought it might just offer a better way or another way into lucid dreaming. It didn't, but I still found the book intriguing. With focusing, it's believed that the stress you have is being held in the body, and using six steps, you can relieve the body tension and thereby relieve the psychological stress. With my own mindfulness application, the Pathfinder's Question, you may be focused upon getting your best outcome for a project you're working on, but often you're using it to address the ordinary anxieties that your conditioned brain gatekeeper is experiencing. The Pathfinder's Question shifts gatekeeper from focusing upon the thinking that's causing your stress to curiously and mindfully observing what's going to happen next. What you get depends upon what you need. So you may get that bodily release of tension that focusing talks about, if that's necessary, or a shift in perspective, or a very practical inspiration. But it all originates from the deeper non-conscious level of your pathfinder. I'm going to show you how I use my version of one part of focusing with the pathfinder's question, and how you can use it to do mindfulness meditation. But let me give you a brief overview of the process of focusing so you can decide if you want to read the book. Step one, ask yourself, what major concern or issue is between me and feeling peaceful at this moment? And then you just wait and see what comes up. So say the thing that comes up is something about Mary at the office, a problem you're having with her. There's probably a lot to unpack there about what she did, what she says, who she is, but you don't go into that. You just notice, okay, there's that thing about Mary at the office. Step two, focus inwardly, like deep inside you, and see if you can get a sense of what that thing about Mary in the office feels like in your body. Step three, what is the quality of this body sensation? Does it feel tight or sticky or scary or stuck or heavy or chumpy? And step four, you try the word out. You say, is it sticky? And you see if it matches the feeling. No, it's not sticky. It's more like, is it heavy? Yes, it's more like it's heavy. So you try and match it. And then step five, let's say the word was heavy. What is it about this whole problem, the thing at the office with Mary, that makes it heavy? And then just wait until something comes up along with a shift, a slight give or release. And step six, whatever comes up, a big shift, a slight shift, no shift, you just try to accept it in a friendly way. Now, does that sound intriguing? Now, while there are updated versions and there are more books in the series, as happens inevitably, I like the original book because it's very clear, very simple, very straightforward. Here's how I use one element of focusing with the Pathfinder's question. So with the Pathfinder's question, you don't usually proactively go looking for trouble in focusing, asking what's between me and feeling good now. It's an excellent technique, but you don't necessarily do that. You usually tend to initiate the Pathfinder's question because you want to get your most fulfilling outcome for a project or in response to your conditioned brain gatekeeper moaning about something or other. You pause, ask, and just look. And what helps gatekeepers shift from focusing on his or her worries is curiosity. Gatekeeper wants to see what Pathfinder comes up. So you ask, where is my most fulfilling path forward here? And then you just look. You don't answer the question. You just look to see what happens next. Simply see what comes up by itself. It usually only takes a few seconds at the most. It might be an internal thing, an inspiration, insight, impulse to act, a feeling of confidence, calmness, excitement. Or it might be an external thing, something that happens. Whatever it is, you measure it. Does it feel like you're expanding, or does it feel like you're contracting, or is there no movement? And if it happens to be gatekeeper putting in his or her 2 cents worth about the situation, you can just clear a space for Pathfinder's guidance, which is step one in focusing, by imagining that whatever he says goes into a box labeled, in this case, that thing about Mary at the office. Anytime during the process you get more of gatekeeper's thinking, just thank him and imagine placing it in that box labeled that thing about Mary at the office. Because you're not asking gatekeeper to analyze or solve the problem, but neither are you going to ignore it or dismiss it. You're keeping it safe in case gatekeeper wants to go back to that box later on. And then you ask again, what's my most fulfilling path forward here? And pretty soon you get that shift, that leveling up. Jen Ling's focusing is a unique form of therapy, and it may be one you want to explore. How would you know? You can always ask the Pathfinder's question. And if you want to know more about the Pathfinder's question, just go to thepathfinderquestion.com. But put that on pause right now because I need to hear about Rick and Frank's book choices. Back to you, Rick.
Great stuff, Peter. Thank you. Love those steps. Frank, tell us about your book.
Yes, I think it is a wonderful book, The Book of Gentle and Focusing. I used it when I was studying juvenile delinquency, and it helped juvenile delinquents to be more balanced. So I just want to refer to that. So that's great. Back to the introduction. Chopra says in his introduction the following: there are many aspects to success. Material wealth is only one component. Moreover, success is a journey, not a destination. Material abundance, in all its expressions, happens to be one of those things that makes the journey more enjoyable. But success is also good health, energy, and enthusiasm for life, fulfilling relationships, creativeness, creative freedom, emotional and psychological stability, and a sense of well-being and a peace of mind. Quite a lot. Quite something different than only material success. To me, life is a mystery to be lived, not a problem to be solved. And as Chopra says, true success is therefore the experience of the miraculous. It is the unfolding of divinity within us. The seven spiritual laws are, among other, a lot of other things, fascinating parts of our treasure box of life, ready to be discovered. Law is the process by which the unmanifested becomes manifest, says Chopra. It's the process of creation by using a very powerful capability we all possess as humans, the power of imagination. If you can imagine it, you can create it. Very negative things and also very positive things. The several laws, as Chopra describes them, are: number one, the law of pure potentiality. Number two, the law of giving. Number three, the law of karma, or cause and effect. Number four, the law of the least effort. Number five, the law of intention and desire. Number six, the law of detachment. And the last one, the law of dharma, or purpose in life. In this book talk, I'll focus on the fourth law, the law of least effort. If struggling would be the way to get there, we all would be there now, says Victoria Castle. For many people, life is experienced as a struggle, a fight with what they perceive as their reality. How many of you think that you must work hard to get some money, for example? Let's look at nature. Does grass grow faster by pulling at it? No. Grass just grows. Given the right circumstances, like a fertile soil, enough water and sunlight. Birds fly, fish swim without effort. They don't struggle, they simply live. It's life nature, and it's the principle of the least action, of non-resistance. This is therefore the principle of harmony and love, according to Chopra. In Taoism, it's referred to the principle of Wu-Wei, often translated as non-action, but non-forcing anything, or not forcing anything, might be a better one. Your hair grows by itself, or are you forcing it to grow somehow? Are you pulling at it? I don't hope so, and I don't think so. But not forcing anything, by going with the flow, and at the same time be very, very aware of what's happening, you can steer easily and effortlessly through the rough waters of life. How many of you do that? How many times you are rowing upstream? If so, you struggle. The result we all know, and you are very likely to create and experience diseases. Look at the word dis-ease, not at peace somehow. It's not effortlessly and it's not easily. That's not the way you want. That's not the way you're supposed to live, do you? I think there's a better way. Chopra writes, in the Vedic science, an old philosophy of India, this principle to manifest dreams into physical form easily and effortlessly is known as the principle of economy of effort, or do less and accomplish more. Well, that's attractive, isn't it? But you don't have to wait until you got your pension. You can start today with that. ultimately, you come to the state where you are doing nothing and accomplish everything, he says. This means that there is just a faint idea, and that then the manifestation of that idea comes effortlessly. What is commonly called a miracle is an expression of a law of least effort. According to Chopra, there are three things you can do to put this principle into action. Number one, acceptance. Acceptance simply means that you make a commitment. Like, today I will accept people, situations, circumstances, and events as they occur. Make nothing wrong, I repeat, make nothing wrong. Suspend all judgment and condemnation. And if you don't do that, you will start to struggle with life immediately. Remember this in your daily life, especially when you start to take things personally. That means that you start to struggle. When you feel frustrated or upset by a person or a situation, remember that you are not reacting to the person or situation, but to your feelings about the person or the situation. These are your feelings, and your feelings are not someone else's fault. Yes, you have to do some soul searching here. Please do it with a smile. Number two, responsibility. What does responsibility mean? Responsibility means not blaming anyone or anything for any situation, including yourself. Having accepted this circumstance, this event, this problem, responsibility means the ability to have a creative response to the situation as it is now, at this moment. All answers are inside you, but you must be willing and able and willing to listen. How do you find the answer? By shutting up, silencing your chattering, your monkey mind, as it is called. Don't make anything wrong and see every situation as a perfect way to create something new and refreshing. Think about that and think about what we have said in episode 25, when I talked about nonviolent communication and a great book written about this important subject by Marshall Rosenberg. The last one, number three, defensivelessness. When you are aware, and when your awareness is established in defensivelessness, you have relinquished the need to convince or persuade others of your point of view. If you observe people around you, you will see that they spend a lot of time defending their points of view. When you become defensive, blaming others or do not accept or surrender to that, you do not accept or surrender to that moment. And you meet resistance, Chopra stipulates. What you resist persists, and life will quickly become a struggle. Accept life as it is in the moment. Act responsible and become more defensiveless. Keep an open mind. That could be summarized as being the key. Rick, what about you?
Wow, packed, chock full of nuggets. And I especially thought it was appropriate that we talk about hair growth on this show.
Absolutely. I missed my wig.
What I like best is that this book, Wisdom of the Ages, it's like sitting with Wayne and he's telling his stories and then sharing the golden nuggets. It's a heartwarming conversation with a wise old friend. Brilliant view of age-old classics. It's a history lesson. And at the same time, it's a his story lesson. Wayne also gives us a wonderful gift. He says that when you examine all the different periods in human history from which these classic words of wisdom emanate, so too can we provide our own words to live among the great masters. Knowing this, what will you say today? What will you write? And I picked out four passages out of the many in this book to read you. One is The Now by Omar Khayyam. And it states, the moving finger writes, and having writ, moves on. Nor all thy piety, nor wit, shall lure it back to cancel half a line, nor all thy tears wash out a word of it. He talks about the now and why it's so important to live today and to share your message. The second one is Hope by Michelangelo. The greater danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it is too low and we reach it. Very profound. And then this one I love from, it's about suffering from Paramahansa Yogananda. Man has falsely identified himself with the pseudo soul or ego. When he transfers his sense of identity to his true being, the immortal soul, he discovers that all pain is unreal. He no longer can even imagine the state of suffering. Terrific, terrific sharing. And then the fourth one I picked out today is Love's Energy by Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. Someday, after we have mastered the winds, the waves, the tide, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. Then, for the second time in history of the world, man will have discovered fire. Terrific book. All about what you will say today, because even though these great masters share their words of wisdom, they were all just like us. And so I will invite you to share your words of wisdom. Peter, what are your final thoughts?
I don't know, Rick. I don't think there's anyone like you and Frank. You guys are pretty unique.
Thank you.
So here are my final thoughts. I like Jen Lin's original book, Focusing, and I recommend that. If you want a simple mindfulness meditation, then do the first step, which is called clearing a space. Ask your conditioned brain gatekeeper, what major concerns are between me and feeling at peace right now? Then no matter what comes up, imagine it as a box and label it if you want. Place it behind you, just for now while you're meditating. Gatekeeper can get it later. I don't want to get him nervous or her nervous. Then ask, besides that one, is there any other major concern, because the minor ones don't matter, between me and feeling peaceful right now? And you continue this way, putting any major concern into a box and placing it for now behind you. And there will quickly come a point when you ask the question and you get no response. Is there any major concern between me and feeling at peace right now? And you'll get nothing. There's just you waiting, gatekeeper silent. And that is a beautiful place to be for a few moments. And the Road Ahead Cafe is a beautiful place to be each week, where we'll serve you life sunny side up, give you easy over techniques, and always include a yoke or two to make you smile, Rick.
Beautiful. Thank you, Peter. Frank, what are your final thoughts?
The past is history. The future is a mystery. And the moment is a gift. That's why it's called the present. I saw this text on a card somewhere. And for me, it's quite truthfully very good. Remain in the present. Keep an open eye on everything. Make a commitment to follow a path of acceptance, responsibility, and defensivelessness, and you will experience life flowing with effortless ease, says Chopra. And I embrace that thought because it is a challenge to a lot of us. And for me also, I have to be aware of this. But, you know, remain in the present, keep an open eye on everything. And as always, what you think about and think about, you bring about. Have a wonderful day, and don't forget to subscribe to Road Ahead podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Great stuff. So here's my final thoughts. Not only can we be fed by this incredible teacher, Wayne Dyer, but he inspires each of us and you to be the next generation of great masters. Now, that's all the permission you need to share your gifts. Thank you for joining us today on the Road Ahead Cafe. Remember, if you like us, subscribe. And if you love us, make a quick selfie video right now and tell us why. Don't be shy. We look forward to getting together again with you next week. Until then, savor your day today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.